Friends, I have a full-blown toddler now. She is everywhere. She is sweet one second, smiling and singing, and the next, on the ground, banging her head and fists off the floor. I am learning of the amazingly chaotic moments that are filled with yogurt in her hair, yogurt in my hair, yogurt on the wall, and Michael's text messages to me while I was at annual conference. Dear, you are coming home to a different Sophia. I am learning that those amazingly chaotic moments that are filled with messiness and highs and lows are also filled with God's grace, God's salvation. Now you might be thinking, come on, Melissa, we know you make everything a theological point and a sermon, but God's salvation in your experience of a toddler, that's going a little far. But bear with me. Who here has watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood? The newer version inspired by Fred Rogers' work, Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood. Have you seen that? Who has? Oh, I see Holly. Yeah, me too. I grew up watching Mr. Rogers, and Sophia now loves Daniel Tiger. The great thing about both Mr. Rogers and the puppet and now cartoon Daniel Tiger is that they both address all kinds of feelings and experiences. Often, we find Daniel Tiger encountering a situation where he finds himself mad or sad or jealous. His parents and teacher always help him to identify what it is he is feeling. They help him acknowledge and affirm him in that experience and tell him that it is okay to have these feelings. And then they help him to move forward in a positive way from that space. The adults in Daniel Tiger's life meet him where he is and in what he is experiencing in his daily life. And I see that in Sophia. Now, granted, I'm not as practiced as these teachers and parents in Daniel Tiger, or as experienced as our Presbyterian pastor friend, Mr. Rogers. Sophia, Michael, and I are first-timers, and we meet each other where we are. Not only is Sophia growing by leaps and bounds every day and learning gobs of information by learning and observation, but she is planting seeds in us, both Michael and me, and making us grow in the ways of unconditional love, calling us forward in new ways, nourishing us with sunshine and tears, tantrums and hugs. I bring up Mr. Rogers not just because I love him and the show that was inspired by him airing now, but to draw attention to the fact that he is currently being lifted up with the release of the film, Won't You Be My Neighbor. In 1979, Mr. Rogers shared that his approach to broadcasting was sharing with children the important message, you are an important person just the way you are. You can make healthy decisions. And he said, I think everybody longs to be loved and longs to know that he or she is lovable. And consequently, the greatest thing we can do is to help somebody know they're loved and capable of loving. I remember hearing Mr. Rogers as I grew up say to me through the screen, I like you just the way you are. Obviously, he didn't have to deal with me that day. But truly, Mr. Rogers and our gospel lesson for today are speaking to me where I am currently, being challenged in most every moment by a toddler. Mr. Rogers had that element of Jesus in him, meeting people where they were and naming it beautiful and okay and teaching them along the way, accepting them for who they are while also seeing their potential, which is what Jesus is speaking of when he talks about the kingdom of God being like a mustard seed, the smallest of all the seeds that grows into a great mustard bush, the biggest of all. So where we find Jesus today is leaving the bigger crowd he was teaching for a more intimate group, consisting of disciples and those folks who wanted to learn more. He had just got done preaching the parable of the sower, who scattered seeds on the ground, and it depended on the soil and the nourishment they received, how they would grow. Then, in the more intimate setting, he teaches the meaning of that parable, but gives them three more to ponder in typical Jesus fashion, including the two we heard for today, the parables of the growing seed and the mustard seed. His deal was, as your teacher, I will not give you all the answers. Answers do not always meet you where you are. Stories do. Questions do. Stories and questions do not control how you think or force you to think a certain way like answers do. His stories and questions invited the disciples and in turn invite you to relate and to dive more deeply because of the questions. And as a good rabbi, those are the tools that he used, and they were effective, and they still are effective. Rabbi Jesus planted seeds, and through his parables of the seeds growing today, invited those around him and us to participate in kingdom work, seed planting. And here's the thing about planting seeds. You cannot control the outcome. You can probably guess when the seeds will sprout, when it will be time to harvest. You can do everything in your power to help them grow. But you do not control the process of growth. Neither can we control the kingdom of God or each other. We also cannot control who God calls forth. As I shared, the mustard seed is the smallest seed, yet it grows to become the greatest shrub with the biggest branches that give shade to birds. The smallest of the seeds grows to give the most, to share the most, to provide for others. And to bring this all the way home for you today, I invite you to consider that a seed was planted in you. Something or someone shared their compassion with you, met you where you were, and spoke God's love and grace into your life. And that seed took root in you, making you a new creation, nurtured and nourished and growing. God worked through that person and those circumstances that planted a seed in you. Whatever it was that led you here to worship today, to this point in your life's journey, God worked through that, and God works through you. As a response to God's work in us, God's grace and God's salvation, we become planters too. It's our job to plant the seed, not our job to see or control the result. And that's a hard truth. We must plant with care, nourishing that seed as best we can, trusting God with the rest of the process to meet that person where they are. So I encourage you to plant, to nourish, to do what you can, and then know that you must release the rest into God's hands. Surrender, and then imagine the growth that comes from this process for you and what could be of those seeds that you planted. So I invite you to think about, what are the small acts of compassion that changed your life? I invite you to think on those small acts and think of ways that you can engage compassionately with those around you. Or in other words, the ways that you can pay it forward. Someone paid it forward to you. And then if you do the same, pay it forward, More seeds are planted, and then who knows what those seeds of love and compassion will do, will grow to be by the grace of God. And that's the thing, we don't know. We just pray that that seed is noticed, that the message is heard, telling them that that person is loved and that they are capable of love as well, sending it out into the world. So when those seeds of love and compassion are sown and they grow by the grace of God, it is the kingdom of God that is growing. Right there in our very hearts, inside us, turning our hearts into the heart of Christ as we grow in Christ's likeness, transforming us and the world into God's dream, perfected by God's grace and by God's salvation, perfecting us to a state of being where compassion wins, where the lion lies down with the lamb, where peace and justice reign. See, God's dreams are big, and they might seem overwhelming to us. But as Jesus teaches, all it takes is a little seed, the smallest of all, a small act of kindness. Just saying and acting towards someone what Mr. Rogers taught in his ministry, I like you the way you are. So all you need to do is begin. God knows your heart. God knows the hearts of those around you. Make sure to not get caught up in judgments that keep you from sharing those seeds of compassion and love. Ask yourself, who am I forgetting? Who is the mustard seed I'm forgetting? Who don't I see right now? Or who is missing from my pew today? Who is the mustard seed that has gifts to share that's going unnoticed? Because they could have the most to give. Everyone's planting seeds for the kingdom of God matters. For planting seeds is kingdom work. God works wonders beyond our imaginings through minuscule seeds that grow through you and through those around us. Even little 18-month-old Sophia is a seed planter, planting seeds in Michael and me, calling us to grow into our full potential as parents, learning something new every day alongside her. It's often the little things, the most minuscule of compassionate acts and people that have the greatest impact and cause us to grow. See, your faith journey is made up of seeds that brought you here, to this point in your life, here to this table, where we are reminded who we are as God's beloved people and what we are called to do. To love as we are loved. And we remember every week when we come to share a simple meal that is a seed itself of Jesus' compassion, Jesus' life poured out so that we might understand the kind of kindred love we are called to with our neighbors. So let us pray. Holy One, planter, sower, harvester, we pray that this simple bread and simple cup might be for us the body of Christ and the cup of salvation, so that when we eat and drink, the seeds of the body and the fruits of the cup will take root in us, making us be the hands, feet, and heart of Christ, scattering seeds of love and compassion in our community. Help us to win over our enemies by our love and wear them down with your grace, O God, we pray. Amen. I'm going to plant two questions into your heart before sharing in communion this morning. And the first is, how are you opening yourself to God's tending of the seeds growing in you?
How are you opening yourself to God's tending of the seeds growing in you? And second is, how are you called to scatter seeds of compassion, to plant kisses, as we talked about with the children today? I pray that you hear this seed planted with care. You are welcome here. You are loved here. At this table, always. At this table, compassion always wins. Peace and justice reign. This is Christ's table, where God's big dreams are possible. Things might get messy. This is not clean perfection we're moving toward. This is relational. Relationships are messy and beautiful, chaotic, and filled with God's grace and salvation. So don't feel as if you don't deserve this meal, because you do. And if you feel that way, I affirm that you are experiencing that, but I invite you to come anyway. Release your expectations and come to the table. Be nourished, because who knows what God is planting and calling forth in you.